We live in a universe that is alive with stars. Our own galaxy, the Milky Way, has 400 billion stars or suns. There are at least 100 billion solar systems just in the Milky Way. And there are billions of galaxies like ours. The Earth is like a tiny grain of sand on a huge celestial beach. And this isn't the only beach. Why would there only be life on Earth?
Hola amigos. Soy Sixto Paz.
Hi my friends, I'm Sixto Paz Wells. I was born December 12, 1955 in Lima, Peru. My father used to research UFOs before I was born, so I was raised in an environment where the subject was common. In fact, my father used to teach my brothers and me, when we were boys, to think that it would be impossible that there would be life only on Earth. He said it would be very strange indeed if there were no life beyond this planet. My father, with some friends from the Air Force, created an institute for the study of UFOs. In 1973, he was invited to speak to a yoga group, and I went along with him. I was 17 years old then. While I was there, I met a group of people who were very much into spiritual subjects, although not in a religious way. I liked so much what they had to say that I spent some time with them practicing breathing, relaxation, concentration, and the meditation of Hatha Yoga, Mantra Yoga. The following year, 1974, a report in the most serious and conservative newspaper in Lima, El Diario del Comercio, said it had been discovered that outer space was not a place of deathly silence as believed, and that noises coming from the universe were a cacophonous riot of sounds, some of which might be other civilizations trying to communicate with us across the universe. This interesting report made my father invite Dr. Victor Yáñez from the police hospital in Lima, who held a high degree in masonry and was a member of the Theosophic Society, to lecture on telepathy, or transmission of thoughts across long distances. The doctor said that if people of other worlds were trying to communicate with us, they might not just come in spaceships. They might try to communicate through our thoughts, or astrally, through our dreams. This idea seized my imagination with such force that when I got home and told my mother and sister what I had heard, we decided to try it out, to play a game where we would try to clear our minds and receive a message from beyond. We sat down at a table with paper and pen and agreed to write down any thoughts that seemed not to be our own, but coming from somewhere else. By doing so, we hoped to detect a possible message. We started to practice some meditation, and about 15 minutes later, I felt an irresistible urge to write something down, and an anxiety that forced my eyes open. I was not in any trance state whatsoever. I was fully conscious. I started writing very quickly. I felt like someone was speaking in my ear, saying, "Living room, good place to communicate. My name is Oxog. I am from Marlem, one of Jupiter's moons. You call it Ganymede. We will communicate with you and soon you will see us." I thought this wasn't real, of course. It had to be a product of my imagination. But then my mother and my sister told me that they had received the same message. But they chose not to write it down. I had written it down as I was mentally receiving it. This is called psychography, or automatic writing. Next day, with some friends, we repeated the experiment. This time, though, we asked for a signal. In the course of the experiment, we received instructions to go on February 7, 1974, to Chilca Desert, south of Lima. We arrived the day before to become acquainted with the environment. We didn't want to confuse a meteor, satellite, or airplane with the expected sighting. After darkness fell, suddenly there was a strange brightness. Behind the mountain, everything was lit as if it were daylight. All of us saw a glowing object moving along the mountain crest. When it stabilized on the right side of the horizon, the members of our group started asking each other, "You see it?" "Yeah, I see it too." "What is that light?" As it started to descend, it hovered at an altitude of some 80 meters. It projected a light as bright as the midday sun. It was shaped like a disc and had a dozen small windows. We all felt terror, panic. We'd never been so frightened. And yet we all grasped in our minds the message that was sent. They wouldn't come down at that moment because we couldn't control our emotions. Later, there would be a time and place. That time came months later when they landed in the desert and we had the opportunity to see them physically. Anthropomorphic beings, humanoid, similar to us. At the beginning, their communication was all telepathic. Had it all ended there, these experiences wouldn't have much significance. But a Spanish journalist, Juan José Benítez, who today is known worldwide for his Trojan Horse series of books, back then a correspondent for the EFE News Agency, was sent to Peru to cover the story about a group of teenagers who claimed to have had contact with extraterrestrials. We went out to the Chilca Desert with him. And at the exact time, the exact day announced and messages that we had received, this journalist was able to spot two UFOs in the sky. To us, they were DAVs, directed alien vehicles. The sighting demonstrated to his satisfaction that it is possible to establish contact with extraterrestrial beings. When he returned to Spain, Juan José Benítez wrote his first book, UFOs, SOS to Humanity. This book made our contact experience known around the world. As the years progressed, our communication with these beings became more and more fluent. We were allowed to receive the information that we are about to share with you, stories about the cosmic plan, extraterrestrial cosmogony, and the origins of humanity. It is the story of how the human being is the result of extraterrestrial genetic experiments, and how, through our biological history, there has been hybridism and crossbreeding, stellar shipwrecks, colonization, and even deportation of aliens to our world. Without considering the extraterrestrial link, human history doesn't make sense. Little by little, scientists have been discovering that there are multiple dimensions, that we are multidimensional beings. We live in a material universe of seven dimensions, and to act in this material universe, we have seven bodies. One of them is the dense physical body. Then there is the astral body, which is the one of the emotions and desires, joined to the physical body through an energy umbilical cord, known as the silver cord, which is broken when a person dies. The third vehicle is the lower body, which is the one of the character and personality. When a person dies, the physical body dies, the astral body dies, and the character and personality die along with them. The fourth vehicle is the superior mind, the entity with our psychic faculties, our extrasensory capacity. The fifth vehicle is the soul, the gathering place of our experience in past lives. The sixth vehicle is the spirit, which is our consciousness. The seventh vehicle is the essence. There are seven bodies to act in the seven dimensions of this material universe. Beyond the seventh dimension, like music in a superior octave, there is a universe parallel to this one, not a material one, but a mental universe, and the beings that originate there are the ones we know as angels, archangels, thrones, principalities, cherubs, seraphim, powers, dominations. That mental universe corresponds to the 8th, 9th, and 10th dimensions. And beyond those, starting in the 11th dimension, there would be a third universe that is spiritual. The spiritual universe would have created the mental universe. Have created the material universe, so God would not have created us directly, but through intermediate hierarchies, acting through a group of ultra-terrestrial beings, beings from the mental universe, which we know as Jela, the Shining Ones, the Sons of God. The first civilization to emerge from this last creation had a very auspicious development. In a short time, they advanced a great deal, and they pass very quickly from the first dimension to the second, from the second to the third, and from the third to the fourth dimension of consciousness. Which means that as these beings evolved, they were helping other civilizations to evolve. But for those at the head, there came a moment that they became stuck in their own evolution. All of a sudden, those who were in the fifth and sixth dimensions were not able to continue to advance and make evolutionary progress. Why? The first three vehicles, the physical body, the astral body, and the lower mind, constitute what we know as the material consciousness plane. They connect us through the material plane with a material universe of seven dimensions. The superior mind, the soul, and the spirit constitute the plane of mental consciousness and connect us through mental consciousness to the mental universe. And with the three dimensions of the mental universe, the 8th, 9th, and 10th dimensions. And the seventh vehicle, which we could also divide into three, will, wisdom, and love, connects us through the spiritual plane with the spiritual universe, which would be the 11th and up. Those civilizations that have reached the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th dimensions of consciousness not only have evolved from the material plane, but also at the level of mental consciousness. They have had a great mental development, but they have become stuck there. They haven't been able to contact their spiritual consciousness, because those who were their guides or teachers were beings of the mental universe. They fostered the evolution and development of the first civilization, this last great creation. So if the pattern and source of reference of the teachings had some limitations, these limitations become evident in the evolutionary development of civilizations. Their evolution process stopped. During the contact experience, the extraterrestrials related how a cosmic gathering had taken place, in which the ultra-terrestrial beings of the mental universe and the Jele, the creator parents, engaged in a dialogue in order to discuss what mistakes had been made during this last creation. Lucifer, or Luzbel, a very elevated entity of the mental universe, suggested that the mistake was that the evolutionary process was too easy for them, and perhaps not having created the necessary conditions to have an opposition force strong enough to demand maximum effort from these civilizations while they were developing. Lucifer suggested introducing dissociative entities from the mental universe into the material plane to act as demons, making the evolutionary process very difficult. This would re-establish the original rules. But Lucifer thought that they should work with those civilizations that had already been guided by them, and which they had acted directly upon. Those civilizations that were already in the fifth and sixth dimensions of consciousness, and were very close to reaching the seventh dimension, and were about to connect with the Creator Force. But the other ultra-terrestrials disagreed, saying it was like changing the rules of the game. Just as if we had a son in a military boarding school with rigid discipline. Just 1 year short of his graduation, we put him in a mixed school that is not a boarding school and has no rigid discipline. There is a high probability that he would fail. So these ultra-terrestrials said, you can't change the rules of the game for those already in the advanced stage. And these entities suggested working instead with new civilizations, civilizations that were just getting started. But there were also opinions that it wasn't fair either to vary the rules governing those civilizations. So the final decision was to work with civilizations that had never existed, with planets that had never developed. One of those chosen planets was the Earth, trapped in a fourth dimension here on our planet. Throughout history, they have influenced many human beings, persons with weak character and weak will. They connected these persons to politics, religion, and economy, to the leadership of the military, and to fashion and music, in order to sow worldwide chaos through these human agents and lead the world to its own destruction. The extraterrestrial beings of this terrifying and negative planetary regime are the ones who also somehow had influence over the Pleiadians to commit the serious transgression of having sexual relations with human beings on Earth. It was Semiasis, the boss of the 200 Pleiadians, who had sexual contact with the human beings. This is mentioned in Genesis chapter 6, when it says, when the men started populating the earth and producing children, and the sons of God, the angels of heaven, seeing before their eyes that the daughters of men were beautiful, took as many as they wanted, and with them they procreated the ancient heroes of the past. That is how these 200 extraterrestrials had sexual contact and produced hybrids, mestizos, and were reunited in a group of 10 islands, the largest of them, Dondo Island, in the Atlantic Ocean. There they established their capital in Poseidon and Sophocytopolis. As Plato mentions in his dialogues, Critias and Timaeus, as well as in the Republic, such was the knowledge and technology received from the extraterrestrials by the Atlanteans that it allowed them to develop large experimentation labs. They manipulated the brains of dolphins and whales, contributing to the advancement of these two creatures. They also allowed the Atlanteans to travel beyond our world, toward the stars. They had the intention of establishing colonies on Malek, Termini, Yoma, a planet that would have existed between Mars and Jupiter. and they would use Mars as a springboard to get there.
Como esto iba a permitir.
Because this would permit the Atlanteans to get far away from the evolutionary process of their planet and wouldn't affect it. They were allowed to pursue it. This is why we found a huge phase on Mars, discovered in 1976 by Viking 1 and Viking 2 in the Cydonia zone. Pyramids were also discovered in the Liseo zone of what appeared to be ruins of large cities in the Utopia zone. The Atlanteans coexisted underground on Mars with a Martian race that would have received the Atlanteans with curiosity. The technology these Martians received and the great advancement developed by the Atlanteans led to the gradual decimation of the Martian civilization. It also attracted an asteroid of erratic orbit called in those times Marduk. It would have crashed against Terma, Yoma, or Malek, and the resulting meteor shower would have rained destruction on the colonies of Mars. That same meteoric shower would have reached the Earth, first making impact on the Moon. The Earth trapped two big fragments that remained for a time as additional moons, meaning that at a certain moment of planetary history, we had three moons. Those additional moons would subsequently have been absorbed by the Earth. One of them crashed in the Pacific Ocean, leaving as an imprint the Philippines Basin of 11 kilometers in depth. Later, the other moon fell in the Caribbean, leaving as impact the Puerto Rico Basin of 9 kilometers in depth. This created a zone of magnetic aberration, where the line forces that go from pole to pole tend to curl, forming whirlwinds and vortices of electromagnetic forces that collapse space-time, opening gates to other dimensions. These great destructions would have caused the last major glaciation, 11 to 12,000 million years ago, and would have covered the Antarctic with ice. The Antarctic was a continent and was going through the last period of Lemuria, the period of Mu. This was the greatest advancement of the original black race on our planet. This was the greatest advancement of the original black race on our planet, after the intervention of the Guardians and Sentinels. The Lemurians had then to be rescued and taken out of there. They were taken to Mesoamerica in what is now Mexico, and that's how the Olmec civilization emerges. The last archaeological discoveries made in the state of Guerrero, on the Pacific coast of Mexico, demonstrate the Olmec culture was thousands of years older than we originally supposed, and that would explain their Negro facial features. The Olmecs also appear in stelas in great stone sculptures driving spaceships, something that later we will see repeated in the Maya civilization itself. To counteract the nefarious effect of all these negative influences, 32 beings from 32 different civilizations were sent to Earth and landed in the desert of Gobi in Mongolia and founded the mythical Shambhala, the capital of the Dagartha kingdom of the extraterrestrial world. A web of tunnels and galleries was established, where large deposits and files of knowledge of the lost history of humanity reposed, in hopes that someday men of goodwill could have access to such knowledge. We could all awaken our consciousness and remember the mission that has been assigned to us in the cosmic plan. Learn to love and teach others to love. Love in its supreme exaltation, in its essence. After the disaster that supposedly destroyed Atlantis in the last period of Lemuria, the extraterrestrials, the Guardians and Sentinels, decided to accelerate the process of humanity, and that's how they concentrated their efforts in Mesopotamia, where the Sumeria project emerged. Sumer or Sumeria translates the country of the spaceships, and it is there where the first pyramids, the ziggurats, are constructed. They were not astronomic observation towers or temples. They were towers of ascent and descent for spaceships, just like today we have been able to interpret from the clay tablets written in ideographic symbols and cuneiform that have survived to our days. In the Sumerian era, small city-states emerged where the extraterrestrials decided to work with large collectives of people, giving them instruction and knowledge, but discouraging dependency. The Sumerian civilization achieved a great level of development, and the Sumerians themselves elected the Patesios, the Elsios, as representatives of the people to maintain fluent communication with the An, the goddesses of the sky, who would visit from time to time. During each of their visits, a fluid exchange of information and knowledge took place. During each of their visits, a fluid exchange of information and knowledge took place. Back then, the planetary quarantine imposed by the Guardians and Sentinels was not that rigid, allowing not only Ans, the gods of the sky, to arrive here with good intentions to further the cosmic plan, but also the Anunnaki, the sons of the Prince, reptile-looking beings connected to Satan and its satanic forces, who from time to time would act in our world in a very negative fashion, trying to conduce the Sumerians to fight against each other. Great words were incited, and they encouraged very violent developments of peoples like the Sakarios, who ended up exterminating and destroying the Sumerians. The Sumerian project, working on a wide collective group of people, failed, because finally, at the end, dependencies had been created anyway. They were paying too much attention to the return of the Ans. The extraterrestrials, the Guardians and the Sentinels, and the planetary instructors decided therefore to work with an elite group of individuals. They chose for this the Egyptian priestess, heirs of the knowledge of Atlantis, survivors of the Atlantia, who came to Egypt with extraterrestrial knowledge because there were extraterrestrial colonies in Egypt. Survivors of Sumeria settled there, so all that sum of knowledge and information was going to emerge as the great nation of Egypt. When still the rest of humanity was in the Neolithic Age, the great Egyptian civilization appears. The great achievements of a civilization never occur at the beginning or the end, but at the height and splendor of development. The greatest development, extension and expansion of Egypt was between the 18th, 19th, and 20th dynasty of the new empire. Nevertheless, in that era, there isn't anything similar to the pyramids, which are of the 3rd and 4th dynasty, especially the pyramids of Cheops, Khafre, and Cyrenus, the most famous, which date from the 4th dynasty. For these to be from the old empire, the most ancient Egyptian period, is impossible. This demonstrates that there is a connection with these beings from the sky and with the remaining Atlantis. The Egyptian priestess, after receiving this superior knowledge, were supposed to retransmit it to the people, sharing it in a way that was comprehensible, in a way it could be understood. Nevertheless, with time, the priestess, instead of sharing it with others, kept it for themselves, for self-education, and when initiating others, they didn't share all they knew, maybe because they considered that the others weren't worthy, or because they didn't want them to replace them in their work. The knowledge consequently started to become diluted, and it reached the point when knowledge was lost. Egypt fell under the influence of these terrifying dark forces that tried to get humanity to forget. So after failing in working with a wide group of people and also with an elite of individuals, it was decided to work with one individual and to program his or her genetics. By chance, the chosen one was Abraham, psychic since birth. He used to easily have telepathic communication with these beings, and what is more, he was such an intelligent man with such broad judgment that he accepted at that time, when there were 1,000 commonly accepted gods, the idea of one single god, which was a very advanced concept. The idea became to program Abraham's line of descendants, and you can see very clearly that all through the sacred history, there is evidence of serious genetic manipulations or interventions of these beings. For example, Abraham was not able to have children with Sarah. Nevertheless, with the help of those from above, they finally had Isaac. Isaac married Rebekah, but Rebekah was not able to have children either. Nevertheless, with the Lord's help, she conceived Jacob and Esau. Jacob married his cousin Leah, and then Rachel, the one who he really loved, but she was sterile too. But with the help of these beings from other worlds, she finally conceived Joseph, he of the premonitory dreams, he of the talent of prophecy, the one who interpreted the Pharaoh's dreams. Samson was the son of his feral parents. Samuel, the same. Mary, the virgin, was the daughter of Joachim and Anna. They were not able to have children. With intervention from the heavens, Mary is born, creating conditions for the birth of Jesus Christ, who was not an extraterrestrial, but an extraordinary terrestrial. The New Testament tells the story of Jesus. Jesus had been a person, a human being on the earth, who through multiple reincarnations on this planet, had reached a high evolutionary level. He did not need to reincarnate. However, out of love for humanity, he accepted his destiny to come back. He prepared himself for his 3 years of public life in such a way that a cosmic symbiosis took place in him, a transmigration by which a being from the category of the sons of God, a jealous, a shining one, one of the creator parents named Mihail, fused with him, coexisted with him during those 3 years, keeping him company in the realization of his great mission. What did this great mission consist of? Specifically to teach humanity that love is the strongest force in the universe, capable of overcoming everything and transforming everything, including overcoming death. Understanding love as respect, tolerance, and forgiveness among human beings. The day will come, according to the Apocalypse, that humanity will have access to a certain knowledge that was hidden for ages. When this knowledge emerges, the forces of darkness will become subject to humanity for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, which begin on the 22nd of December, year 2012, a new millennium will start. And at the end of that millennium, it is believed that humanity will take the side of the forces of light in a last great battle, the Battle of Armageddon. But what would happen if at the moment humanity finds out that we have been victims of a cosmic conspiracy in which extraterrestrials and ultra-terrestrial forces, our creator parents, and even our older siblings have conspired against humanity, what would happen if in that moment, instead of humanity struggling against the darkness, in a supreme act of love we say, Father, forgive them, for they were mistaken. They tried to prevent the evolution of man on earth, and on the contrary, they made man of greater value and greater significance. Such was the pressure on the coal, meaning humanity, that the quality of the diamond is excellent. In this moment of forgiveness, a cosmic redemption of the earth will be sealed. What is expected to happen in the following years? Humanity will access knowledge that was hidden. A wealth of information will come to light. Information that has been hidden by the governments and by religions. The enlightenment will be so profound that many people won't be able to resist it. Among the things that humanity is going to discover is that we are in an alternative time, paradoxical. That we are not in real time, and that we are getting closer to a reconnection, a synchronization of times. In the months and years following December 22nd, year 2012, we are going to see a speeding up of psychic potential in dreams and consciousness. Great transformations in the planet will take place at the ecological and climatic levels, including natural catastrophes of tremendous impact. Why? Because the Earth is getting closer to a great planetary labor. The Maya civilization wisely anticipated this. They considered that starting in the year 2003, each year symbolically will be like a month of pregnancy, leading to a great planetary birth. That great labor has been foreseen as taking place between now and December 22nd, year 2012. Will humanity be capable of fulfilling the great mission that it has been assigned? Will we really be capable of all important moment of cosmic forgiveness? How will we be capable of such a gesture if prior to that we are not able to exercise tolerance and to forgive and accept our family and others the way they are? Today, the terrifying forces are trying to encourage whatever it takes to destabilize our civilization. Racial hate, ethnic hate, religious struggles and confrontations. We are at the most propitious moment in human history to demonstrate a real spiritual level in our striving for unity and diversity. We should emphasize everything that unites us and not what separates us. Remember that we are human beings and our home is planet Earth, a planet predestined to be the light for others, the light of the cosmos. We are not the center of creation, but we are at the center of a cosmic expectation. Otherwise, so many extraterrestrial civilizations wouldn't have been coming since immemorial time to our world. We are living the most extraordinary moment of human history. a great defining moment. It is also the time of a great awakening. Either we succeed at passing through these events, or we will simply not achieve the goal. Not a lot of people are needed to change the world. The Hopi Indians, or Pueblo Indians, talked about 144,000 sun dancers who had to remain dancing through a night of darkness to ensure the birth of the next day. The Apocalypse teaches us about 144,000 people who washed their clothes, meaning that they awoke their consciousness. Relatively few people are needed to change the world. What is needed is that all those people who are evolving and growing give their best and remain constant and committed to their process of change. Let's remember that we live in a universe without limits. The only limit is our own ignorance. Don't believe anything you have heard. Think, reflect, but the most important thing is to feel, because the truth is inside of everyone.